What's good, everybody? This is Abstract Dynasty, the show where we use stats, theory, and experience to challenge consensus, unearth value, and hone our craft as Dynasty players. I'm AJ, and today, JT and I will be continuing our early takes on the 2021 rookie draft class, recapping a few of the first round guys, getting into the second round, and some late round guys. Let's talk shop. All right. Anyway, so you and I have Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance in a similar-ish tier. What's it going to take to pry one of them away from us with the 101 or 102?
I guess we could talk about the trade that I'm currently mulling. It'll take a QB2 with upside, a young running back, and a wide receiver 2 with upside, such as Carson Wentz, Cam Akers, and Cortland Sutton.
Yeah. I mean, that's just Trevor Lawrence is in that first round conversation in a startup.
And I haven't seen
usually
him
somewhere in the second. So that's kind of what you're giving up. I don't think the public is quite there on Trey Lance yet, but he could easily be there by mid season or later, depending on when he starts.
He's going to be great. I mean, I don't know how he's going to play in the, like, if he's going to be good in the league, but just from a rushing standpoint.
So, I mean,
I'm trying to see when their bye week is.
The Niners?
Yeah. They got an early bye week.
Week 6.
Ooh, gross. Not good for Trey Lance. That's really early. Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's good for Trey Lance at all.
Well, it's good for the Niners in that they can make a decision without throwing away half a season. They throw away a third of a season. 18 games now.
Right.
17 games, sorry.
17. So looking at their first 5 games, you have the Lions, which is a winnable game. The Eagles should be a winnable game, but they're both on the road. Defense travels. I think they could beat both of those rebuilders out the chute. Then they have Green Bay at home. So if Aaron Rodgers gets shipped, that's a win. Then they have Seattle at home. And then they're at Arizona.
So most of those defenses don't actually scare me all that much. So regarding straight up one for ones, like Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence / Trey Lance?
Oof. I think I'd take both of them over Burrow.
I think I do too. And for you and I've talked about the rushing upside. We're not sure what it's going to be for Burrow coming off the injury. Maybe they're a little more diligent with making him get the ball out quicker. Maybe more throwaways, more checkdowns, not so much scrambling.
I'm not optimistic about Zach Taylor.
Well, this, as Ewok says, this begins the actual push to getting Joe Brady as the head coach next year.
And according to Teddy Bridgewater, that may not be a good idea either. It's crazy that he just like trashed him like that. They were together in New Orleans on his way out. He just kind of trashed him. There's no other way to look at it other than saying that he's going to have to practice differently. That's pretty damning. I think the interesting one, would you rather, out of those top two, would be Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think weapon-wise, they're pretty even as it stands. I think I just take Kyle Shanahan over Brandon Staley and Joe Lombardi. Defensive-minded head coach versus offensive-minded head coach. One year of elite production from Justin Herbert. I want to see more of those stable metrics in his game and not just the under pressure stuff, because that's not consistent year over year. But if you want some of the known, I guess I could see him over maybe a Trey Lance, but I'd probably take T-Law over Herbert 100 times out of 100.
Interesting. I don't know. I know I like to like bang the table looking at divisional games, looking at divisional opponents and surveying that landscape, but Herbert's division is pretty wide open as well. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, it's going to be a shootout. The Raiders are going with an 11 safety look, and the Broncos are typically good, but Herbert still produced points against them. Yeah, I don't know. I think you're happy with any of the three. I think you're splitting hairs at that point.
Yeah. So how about some guys on the fringe like Lamar Jackson?
Wow. It would come down to settings. If it's a 4-point passing touchdown league, then I would lean Lawrence. No, I'm sorry. If it's 4-point passing TD, I'm leaning Lamar. If it's 6-point passing touchdown, then I'm leaning Lawrence.
People still play 4-point? I thought 6-point became the standard.
I think that's most of the leagues that I'm in, man, where it's
really
mostly 4-point. Yeah, wow. Man, it's mostly 4-point. But I look, you're splitting hairs at that point. I think Lamar is going to consistently put up, you know, 900 to 1200 rushing yards a season. It's tough to pass that up. It's tough to think that Lawrence is going to come in and, you know, do something higher than that. I think, you know, people are a little unrealistic on what Lawrence is going to do year one. I think a ceiling for him would be what Herbert did this year, which is great, but be kind of surprised if he got that high.
Yeah, Lamar's floor is just so damn high. I don't love his longevity because, you know,
sure,
you start to see, we joke that not bad for a running back, but eventually all of these running miles are going to add up, and not necessarily in injuries, but just, you know, that's miles. So if he can't further develop as a passer, I like where the pass catchers are going this offseason, and I'm ready for, you know, I'm willing to roll with him again. You could talk me into both of these guys over Lamar.
I think Lamar's fine for the next 5 years. I mean, he's got to know not to make the same mistakes that other mobile quarterbacks have. But he's also, it's not like he's out there trucking people.
Right.
He's a Michael Vick elusive type. You know, besides Ray Lewis breaking Mike Vick's leg, it was hard to hit Vick, and he did go out of bounds. So I don't think it's not like it's Cam where you know he's going to take punishment.
Right.
So I do think that that's a little bit different for Lamar. Any running quarterback, he's at a higher risk. So
next tier of quarterbacks would be Justin Fields / Zach Wilson.
I have Fields in the same tier as Lance and Lawrence. Guy's got 4.4 speed. That Bears O-line is not good. He is going to have to run. And I think a lot of the plays that we saw Trubisky have success with, Fields is going to – I have to assume Nagy's going to scheme that in there, and we're going to see Fields take advantage of that. Zach Wilson, for me to give him up, it would have to be a QB 10 to 14 that's under 32 years of age.
When you're in range to pick these guys high in the draft – even though we don't have contract restraints, you are getting that job security as if you are drafting him with contract constraints. You want the security and the longevity and the youth that comes with that. So where have you seen Zach Wilson going in startups?
Well, this last startup I was in he went, I think, at the 301.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was a crazy kind of startup where like guys were just going, quarterbacks just were going way off the board. I mean, Trey Lance, I think, went off at the 206. Fields went at the 207. Yeah, I think it was about the 301 that I saw him jump off, which kind of makes sense. I mean, doing a startup right after a rookie draft, I would say it's probably a little more expensive than I would want to pay in a startup setting, but it's not terrible.
Does the offensive line concern you for Justin Fields regarding people's worries about him processing, maybe holding on to the ball too long. I think some of that was what he was asked to do at Ohio State, but you know, does it worry you at all in the short or long term?
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some plays that is glaring. I think that's going to be more of a winning football issue. Like if I'm taking the over under on the Bears win total, that affects that more than I think fantasy. I think if he is a slow processor, which seems to be a bit overblown, that would lead him to run the ball more, to tuck it and run, which would help us in fantasy. So I think you could argue both sides of the coin there. I like Fields a lot. I think, you know, it's interesting to watch how crazy we went over Jalen Hurts last year and what he did. And then you have Justin Fields, who is literally better than Jalen Hurts in every which way. I'm bullish on him.
Yeah, I'd agree. Now, the one that I'm kind of having a hard time placing specifically without running through a lot of names is Mac Jones. Just because, you know, we don't really know when he's going to start realistically. So if you factor in pretty much a redshirt year,
right,
as like your worst case for 21, where does he fall in a startup for you?
Well, I think even if he plays, I have concerns about that offense. I think Mac Jones can win games. I think you can maybe win with him as a starter. But I think my bigger concern is the Pats offense as it's currently constructed, fantasy friendly for a quarterback. Because when I look at their personnel, it doesn't scream to me, you know, averaging 2.5 to 3 passing touchdowns a game. It looks good for Damian Harris. It looks good for, you know, the one piece of cartilage left in Sony Michel's knee. You know, it looks good from that standpoint. But he's got Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Agholor, Jacoby Myers, Jonnu Smith, and Hunter Henry. Let's say Mac Jones started week one. What's his over-under on passing touchdowns? 22? 21?
Yeah.
That's not – it's not very good. So
I'm kind of bracing myself to see a lot of tackle over looks and some jumbo sets from like 1990.
Sure. I would not be surprised based on what they've done in free agency. I think that they thought they were going to get Fields because, I mean, so that's the difference. If Justin Fields was in that offense, I'd be a little more excited just because QB power would be probably unstoppable. I have concerns about, you know, even if he is the starter, even if he, you know, is all that, I have ceiling issues with him. What is he really going to be? And if you could get Matt Stafford for Mac Jones, I would take that in a heartbeat.
As a contender.
As anything.
Okay. All right, so let's skip a little further down the board. How about, like, okay, we'll stick with the New England. Tom Brady.
For Mac Jones?
Yeah.
Do I have 3 quarterbacks already?
You do not.
No. Well, am I a contender?
Without 3 quarterbacks? Probably not.
Unless Breeze retired or, you know, yeah. It would have to be the finishing piece.
Right. And so if you do have 3 quarterbacks,
I would take Brady if I had 3 quarterbacks.
How about Jameis?
Wow. And this is right now, right?
Not right now.
Not he's the starter for sure.
Well, if we're assuming that even if Mac Jones' prospects aren't great, even if he started week one, okay, say Jameis starts week one.
Jameis. Because I could sell him midseason. Baker. It's not even close. Baker, 100%.
Derek Carr.
Wow. Sneaky, could be out of a job guy.
Yeah, that's what worries me.
But I'd have to assume he'd get picked up by somebody. I don't know who, but
I would take Mac there. I'm just not a Derek Carr guy anymore. Not in fantasy.
I'm taking Derek Carr.
All right. And last one, Jared Goff.
I think they're the same guy. So I'd take Mac Jones.
Okay. That's not what I thought you'd say.
Okay. Like if in a startup, Mac is going at the 5-12. I could get Goff at the 9-12, maybe even the 10-12. So in that scenario, I would take Goff. But if we're like trading, if we have like just two options, one or the other, yeah, I'd take Mac Jones in a straight up swap.
I think I would too. All right. Yeah. So then running backs, Najee Harris in a tier by himself.
Even if that offensive line can't run block effectively, Roethlisberger, he dumps the ball off enough. He may be replaced. He may be the last quarterback left with Breeze and Rivers retiring to utilize the running back dump off. Yeah. Who would I take for Najee?
Yeah.
I'd have to be like Akers or Dobbins. I don't even know if I would take Akers in a PPR format.
How about Gibson?
No, taking Najee. I've made my feelings abundantly clear on Antonio Gibson.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Wow. At this point in time, I guess you would have to take Najee. But if I could get CEH plus for him, I would take it.
I would agree. I mean, it's starting running back for, you know, a notoriously workhorse role-oriented team. That's not going to drop off too far. That's where you have to take Najee, is that second, third round where all the rest of the sophomore backs are going.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the differences between the two. I just think the Chiefs are going to just – they're probably going to be a top three red zone team. They fortify that O-line. I think they're going to emphasize the run. Darnell Williams, Jerick McKinnon, I don't think either of those really bother anyone, even if they bring back Le'Veon. I think CEH is the most undervalued 2020 draft pick at the moment, and I recommend people buying him.
Last back for Najee, fellow division mate, Nick Chubb. I'm struggling with this one.
Wow. It would be format dependent. PPR would be Najee 100%, and I think 0.5 is where it would probably be questionable, and it would be contingent on roster composition. In 0.5, Chubb is amazing, but he is a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He does benefit from probably the most amazing run-blocking unit in the league.
Pretty much what we want from Najee this year is what Nick Chubb has. He doesn't have as much receiving work, but
right. I think I roll Najee.
All right. So the next couple backs would be Travis Etienne and Javonte Williams.
I'd take Chubb over both of them.
Well, for sure, because they're the next tier. How about David Montgomery?
Give me the youth.
Austin Eckler.
I mean, his projection basically is Eckler. I don't see Kamara.
I see Kamara in that I think Etienne's a little better after contact than Eckler is. Like, even if Eckler's a better receiver, if you want to give him that.
I think that I'm confident in saying he's a better receiver than Etienne.
I just think he's a little more slippery and has a little bit better balance than somebody like Eckler. I mean, Eckler's a freak and creates a lot after the catch, but...
Yeah, I think also, but you know, the one concern that I have with Eckler, and you kind of alluded to it with Etienne being a little more sturdily built and better after a contact, I think Eckler might be one of those guys where it's like it's a steep cliff. Once he goes, that's it. You know, he tore his hamstring this year, and everybody's like, oh, he'll be back for playoffs. So it's like, even if he's back, I mean, I don't know how confident you can feel putting someone out there. I think he produced a couple games, but if I'm a slam dunk contender, I'd probably take Eckler in a PPR format. 0.5 push.
Yeah, I think I'd take Etienne over Eckler 0.5. And I think I'd take Eckler over Javonte in 0.5.
Interesting. Okay.
Just because Javonte has, a year one, right? So, long term, probably just Javonte straight up.
Trey Sermon?
both of these guys. Although we will talk later about Trey Sermon because I've been putting some hours on Trey Sermon.
Already happening. He is a first round pick now. I'm not advocating that. I think that that's completely wild.
When we get there, I'll talk about it. But Joe Mixon
over
Travis Etienne, Javonte Williams.
Oh no, nope.
Yeah, I think I take them over Joe Mixon every time. Like we're waiting for it to happen, and it happened 1 year when they literally ran three straight downs and bunted for 16 games.
I don't trust Zach Taylor. And if you were to tell me the Bengals paid $48 million to a running back and it didn't work out, would I believe it? That sounds more plausible than the Bengals gave $48 million to a running back and it worked out.
All right. Wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith. Where are you taking them in a startup? What are you taking in a trade? Because the problem with the wide receivers is that there's just so damn many.
Yeah, they're
all good.
I don't think I take receivers that high, so I don't think I'm ever really going to be in position to take Ja'Marr Chase. He's going pretty high, man.
Because CD is an easy third. Justin Jefferson's even earlier than that.
Right, yeah. If you want Jefferson, you got to take him probably like the 210, the 209 at the latest.
And then after those phenoms are off the board, you're still looking at Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I'm never going to take him in a startup. Who would I take over him?
I think I might take him over DeAndre Hopkins. And that sounds really weird to say.
I'd take him over Hopkins without a second thought.
Hopkins holds a special place in my heart. That was my very first ever dynasty draft pick. And
it's a good pick.
Let's just say it has worked out very well.
That's a great
pick. I've been paying a lot of attention to decline over the years and where it happens to which players in what ways. And it seems like the big physical receivers are the ones that drop off a cliff. Not necessarily the physically imposing ones, like the size guys, but the guys that play physical, that beat you up. And there is no more physical receiver in this league than DeAndre Hopkins. And the minute that he can't borderline offensive pass interference his way into another multiple thousand-yard seasons, it might not be pretty. Because he's not an exceptional athlete. He does have great hands, but it's kind of like Dez Bryant, where he wasn't quite the same after the injury, but he vanished. There was no gradual decline. He was just gone. And I worry about that for DeAndre. He's got a lot of miles.
He'd need to transition into that Fitzgerald kind of, 80 catch possession type season.
And are you taking that over Ja'Marr Chase?
No. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I'm not worried about Hopkins this year.
Not in the immediate. Eventually,
yeah, but right now, yeah, I would take Chase. I think he's legitimately a generational talent. Devontae.
So you talk about kicking him back to the sixth round. You're looking at Amari Cooper.
Wow. So like. Cooper's contract, though, can be up after this year, correct?
Yes, they have an out after this year. So if CD sells.
It'd have to be team contingent. I guess I'm rolling the youth.
Yeah, I mean, straight up, I'd probably take Devontae Smith. Like, I love Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was so incredibly hyped coming out of college. And he is a phenomenal route runner, but I almost feel like he's a little too heady. He's a little too cerebral, where like when you watch him run these routes, it's like he's like playing six-dimensional chess with these guys. But then you see a guy like Justin Jefferson just like, I'm going to beat you off the friggin' line. And I am not the fastest guy on this field. And so it's like, well, is that really necessary? And there have been times you couldn't even give away Amari Cooper when he was on the Raiders or even in the early part of his Cowboys tenure because he just vanishes.
Yeah, he's not matchup proof, but he's kind of billed as matchup proof. I think he'll be fine.
Oh, for sure. No,
I like McCarthy's offense. He has Dak. I just don't know what they're going to do there.
Yeah, that's a gut call because if things go well and they bring him back, but I mean, that's going to be a rich payroll.
Yeah, I think I lean towards Devontae. Or,
yeah, me too.
Between those two, whoever I get the extra, that's it. Whoever I get extra with.
All right, how about Mike Evans?
Devontae. I don't trust Tom Brady in receivers.
Your boy, Keenan Allen.
Keenan.
I think I'd take Keenan too.
Close.
I think we would both take him over Brandon Ayuk. I think we would both.
Yeah, he's getting crazy hype right now, man.
Well, I think it's because he's the de facto vertical. Because when you have Debo and Kittle working the underneath in the middle of the field, who's going to run deep for them? It's going to be Ayuk.
I mean, I looked at his stats. He's incredibly efficient. It's just the number of touches that in Shanahan's offense is concerning, and I think the underlying thing there is Kittle's back. All those opportunities you were getting, I don't think that they're there anymore. But or should we be looking at Kittle differently?
Well, I think it starts from the top down, because who's now at the top? Trey Lance. And I think his ceiling is very, very different compared to what we saw with Jimmy Garoppolo.
If Ayuk and Samuel are legitimate alphas, then we should be – is Kittle tight end three? Is Waller ahead of Kittle? Is that a legitimate thing?
Well, I don't think both of them being alphas is legitimate. And I think Kittle's kind of an alpha himself.
Right. I don't know. Might be time to sell George Kittle.
Don't tell me that. All right. Jalen Waddle is the last one we have in the first round. And I guess Elijah Moore, too.
I haven't seen him in the first yet, but I in my heart, he's a first rounder.
I will take him in the first every time.
I will take him over Waddle, and I think he outproduces Devontae Smith year one.
Hot takes here. Spicy.
And if Burrow doesn't play, he outproduces Chase.
Okay, so both these guys head-to-head versus Denzel Mims.
I mean, I like Denzel Mims. He's an undervalued asset at the moment, so I would take these two guys over him. In practice, though, I think Mims can produce like those two, and I would not be surprised. You know, it's considering what the community and the consensus is in taking a guy.
All right. How about the trifecta of old reliables? Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Tyler Boyd.
Settings dependent. In 0.5, he's kind of nerfed. In PPR, he's an asset. The only problem is, I don't know if you want to play the guessing game with Stafford. Stafford is I throw to whoever's open. If Kupp's open consistently, it'll be him. There will definitely be a Bobby Treese. I'm not taking Woods. And I'm not one of those guys who have been like, oh, Robert Woods is, you know, not good over the last like couple of years and stuff. No, I've been big on Bobby Treese. I just think he's 29 and I'd rather get out a year too early than a year too late. Kupp is a push. And who's the other one?
Tyler Boyd.
Waddle or Moore?
Yeah, over Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I gotta take Waddle or Moore. I mean, you could buy Tyler Boyd for peanuts at this point.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about. Yeah, I mean, he's undervalued now because of the Chase pick, but I'm not really worried about his opportunity. But at the same time, there's just way more opportunity for Waddle and Moore to eat in their respective offenses compared to Tyler Boyd.
Yeah, I think Tyler Boyd is the new Robert Woods. I think the problem with Boyd is that he just doesn't score touchdowns. And I know that that's kind of like a variable year to year, but it doesn't seem like that offense features him in the red zone.
All right. The Kyle Pitts.
I got an interesting one for you. I'm going to flip it on you.
Okay.
Do you take Kyle Pitts or TJ Hockenson?
Kyle Pitts.
Do you take Kyle Pitts or Noah Fant?
Kyle Pitts. But I hesitate because I do want the speed in my tight end. Hockenson, you can talk me into in a certain team if I'm ready to compete and I just need consistent points, especially like in a tight end premium. You could talk me into Hockenson, but his ceiling is not even close to Kyle Pitts and a guy like Noah Fant.
Okay. Kyle Pitts or Darren Waller?
Oh. and it's only because Darren Waller's what, 29?
Is he? But in football years, he doesn't have that many miles.
That's true. It's just
Tony Gonzalez played like 17 quality seasons.
Yeah. I think I take Waller there because you are hoping to get Waller out of Kyle Pitts. You are hoping for that upside. But we already have it. And I would say the same thing for Kittle and Kelsey.
Gruden is good for tight ends, so.
Yeah. Yep.
I would take Pitts. I would take Pitts over Darren Waller.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was the Pitts truther.
I would consider TJ Hockenson a little more than you would, though. You said it way too confidently for my life.
Yeah. Well,
I just think, who else is there? Who else?
Right. And that's the thing. If it shakes out that way, yeah, that could be great. But it could also break different ways. You know, they have DeAndre Swift. They drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. Tyrell Williams and Rashad Perriman are not exciting. But
no, they could run straight really fast.
They absolutely can. And they will be doing that a lot with a terrible defense.
That they will. They'll be running straight to run tight end clear outs for Hockenson.
Yeah, there you go. All part of the plan. All right, so we're through the first round. Now let's just – I have some of the big second round guys worth talking about because there's a lot of conjecture in this round.
Right.
As far as a guy that I think we could squeeze into the first round to bump out another guy, I think there's – probably one name, and it's Rashad Bateman. Fifth and final wide receiver off the board in the first. I don't really care about the measurable discrepancy where people thought he was going to be 6'2", 215, ends up measuring 6'1", 190. Quite honestly, that could have been COVID-related. Not the height, but the weight, because the guy caught COVID in the season last year. Probably may not have even put all the weight back on. Mm-hmm. He's just so well-rounded. There's no holes in this game. There's nothing he can't do. The only thing that kind of kills him is that he landed in the Ravens, which is, if you give them the choice, they won't throw the ball all game. So at the very least, nothing in this receiving core is settled other than Mark Andrews in the red zone and maybe a couple of deep plays down the field.
I hate where Bateman went. It would have been nice if he was in Green Bay or Kansas City, like I was campaigning for. It's just the pass attempts are just not there. And it's hard to think that that's going to change. And also, do we want to say that David Culley not being there is an issue? Or maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that'll help them.
At this point, I don't love the landing spot, but I love the talent. And there's absolutely nothing scaring me about Sammy Watkins, Hollywood Brown.
So people were excited for Juju to go to Baltimore. I don't see that enthusiasm shifting to Bateman. I think I would buy the dip on Bateman a little bit, but I haven't seen him go past like the 202.
Well, we were talking about the quarterbacks before with the Trey Lance and Trevor Lawrence versus Lamar. It's kind of the same thing where his floor is so high, but we expect him to progress as a passer because just being a mobile quarterback is not a sustainable path towards success, like team success, not fantasy. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to push the ball down the field. And so this is the pick that they made to ensure Lamar's development for the future so that they can make a better decision when it comes time for his contract.
Right. look, the Ravens took a wide receiver in the first round. Last time they did that was Hollywood Brown. But I think we all were like, I didn't really see Hollywood Brown as a fantasy make or break guy.
The time before that,
yeah. Before that, they took Perriman.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
Oof. Bateman's a tough evaluation. I don't mind taking him and hoping the talent overcomes the situation, but I would take him in the hopes Greg Roman is not there next year.
Yeah. All right. We have arrived at the Trey Sermon part of the pod. Lay it on me. How are you feeling about Trey Sermon?
I think people are wasting their draft capital.
Really?
Yeah, I don't get it whatsoever. It makes legitimately no sense to me. Why would anyone, and I mean anyone, want any piece of the Niners' backfield?
Well, I'll tell you. Because that was my initial reaction before I started digging into it. So, 6 foot, 215 pounds, disappointing 40 time. But I'm kind of getting some Alfred Morris vibes from him. Did you know that they traded 2 fourth-round picks to move up 29 spots to go get Trey Sermon?
Did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I didn't see anybody else say that either. I'm with you on this backfield being a clusterfuck for a reason. But the one thing that might change is that Trey Sermon brings yards after contact to this group. And they just don't have anybody that can do that. If he can absorb that role, that will almost make him a de facto early down and red zone guy. And if you can kind of assimilate somewhat of a role in a backfield that really hasn't had one, this team is so damn good at running the ball. And they weren't last year because everybody was hurt and the defense was trash because everybody was hurt. But if you were to get just like a modest share, 40% of the team rushing yards, or at least attempts, and he can bust tackles, he can stay balanced and churn through contact. One more thing. Did you know that his arms are 33 3/8 inches long?
Is that Derrick Henry status?
That is longer than Derrick Henry's. That is the 97th percentile for running backs. That is on par with linemen. And it's interesting because he did not do the bench at his pro day, as far as I can tell, because there's nothing on Player Profiler for it. So I'm wondering, number one, how strong he is. And number two, maybe he gets some Derrick Henry love, because what Tennessee likes to do is they love to run up the left side of the line behind Taylor Lewan, get Derrick Henry on the left sideline with the ball in his left arm and use his dominant hand as the stiff arm, and people can't grab him, can't touch him. Just a little thing, just like, maybe that's what they see in this guy. Not that he's going to be Derrick Henry. Jesus, that's not what I'm saying. Absolutely not. No one is Derrick Henry. But if he could be like a Frank Gore, or what Carlos Hyde was for this backfield 5 years ago, I think that's realistic.
Jeffrey Wilson's the week one starter there. Trey Sermon plays 5 games this year.
Trey Sermon plays 5 games.
I'm worried about injuries with him. He's definitely banged up throughout college.
Well, that's fair.
I think Trey Sermon's best case scenario is he is what we thought Joe Mixon was.
Would you take what we thought Joe Mixon was in a yes. Shanahan offense?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. But I have serious concerns about injuries with him. That's the bigger concern, and then when you wrap that in, he's in a unpredictable who's the guy this week offense. I think that's just where like my brain is more like, I'll believe it when I see it.
This tier of rookie is so choppy that I'm willing to take a stab. I'm willing to get hurt. You're not drafting a UDFA.
Yeah, at the 201, at the 202, you know, if he hits, you win. If he doesn't, what did you really lose? Now, my issue, and this would be my issue, is when I'm seeing in PPR leagues him going ahead of an Elijah Moore. That just blows my mind.
And I mean, we see him as a first round talent. So I probably wouldn't be taking Sermon in the first round unless I had a really big need in a one quarterback league.
Yeah. I also would take Michael Carter over him.
Really? Well, that brings us to Michael Carter. 5'8", 201 pounds, RB5 off the board. He was the lightning to Javonte Williams' thunder at North Carolina. Similarly slow 40 time to Sermon, but I think the difference here is that regardless of what you want to say about Sermon, Michael Carter might be the only back worth his salt on the Jets right now.
Yeah.
That depth chart's looking tragic right now.
Who's at the top? Ty Johnson?
No, it's Tevin Coleman, LaMichael Pirine, and
Pirine's might get cut.
Yeah. And I think Ty Johnson is there and a couple of other stash guys, but
I think he has a clear path to opportunity. I think he catches the ball, which is something I don't think Sermon is known for. And I think when you look at the Jets draft, Carter is 5'8". He's a little undersized at 200 pounds, but good luck finding him behind Vera Tucker and Mekhi Becton. I think the enthusiasm that we're seeing from the Jets in regards to Michael Carter and just like hearing them post-draft where it's just like, we couldn't believe that he was there. When we made the trade for Vera Tucker, we assumed we weren't going to get him. And I know some of that's probably like coach speak or media speak, but I legitimately buy it from them.
I actually saw Michael Carter go in the first round of a one quarterback league last week.
What pick?
9.
He went at the 7:04 in this last startup I was in. I wouldn't take him there.
Yeah. One QB, the RB first is real. But
Josh Jacobs went after him.
Jeez.
Yeah. Tough sledding right for JJ. Yeah,
unfortunate. So I've got 4 names here. They're all wide receivers, and I kind of want to break them up into like 2 different groups based on expectation. The first being Terrace Marshall, Deami Brown. These are like high upside vertical threats that probably project as number 2s or 3s in their offense, but do have potential for more down the road. As far as Marshall goes, has the prototypical profile, height, weight, speed, ran a 4.3 at his pro day. He was that third option in LSU's offense. Yes, he did.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was getting first round hype in the NFL draft. And then a couple days before the draft, he got some medical flags that kind of killed his draft stock, and he fell to the 3rd round, got picked up by Carolina. So not an immediate threat in the offense, but could be a Robbie Anderson
replacement. Yeah.
And I mean, as far as talent, if not for the landing spot and the medical stuff, I could put him in the conversation with Bateman, Elijah Moore, and Waddle in that back first. That's where I was expecting to take him.
I'm buying the injury risk.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's worth it. It's pushed him way down.
I phrased that poorly. I meant I think has serious injury concerns.
Well, third round capital.
Went to Joe Brady. Joe Brady probably stumped for him. Coaches stumped for their guys despite medicals.
Yeah.
Concerning to me. He went past a lot of guys, I would say. A lot of teams that needed and could have taken that flyer. Something tells me the medicals were bad.
And then Deami Brown, really small guy. You wouldn't think so, but this guy might be one of the best route runners versus press man. And he's a great vertical receiver. And he was at North Carolina.
Right.
I really like this guy. I have since I started scouting all of the rookies. Lands in Washington, kind of in the similar vein as the type of receiver Terry McLaurin is. But it at least gives Terry McLaurin some help. And behind Terry McLaurin, there isn't a whole lot settled for wide receiver targets. He could easily start opposite him week one.
Not buying
Diami.
Nope. Not everyone can hit. I'm not taking away from what you're saying. I just don't like it when people, when they're just like, oh yeah, everyone's going to hit. Like, no, some guys are not going to hit. And I think the height, weight, and scenario give me major concerns for year one production. I just don't see it. I mean, I think he's going to run a lot of verts. He's going to run a lot of verticals that are going to take away people from McLaurin and Samuel and Logan Thomas, which I think Logan Thomas somehow is getting slept on again.
He's not a very attractive tight end, but you can do a lot worse.
When you watch him, he is very athletic. Yeah. Like he torched Pittsburgh. It was amazing to watch. And I think with Fitzpatrick, he's going to get a lot of back shoulder fades in the red zone.
Yeah. But we joked about Felipe Franks' future tight end, but every once in a while, those future tight ends that from quarterback do hit.
Hit him up in the fifth round.
And then the other two guys, whereas those guys are the high upside, these guys are more of the floor. Amari Rodgers to Green Bay and Amon-Ra St. Brown to Detroit. The Packers actually traded up a modest 7 spots to snag Rodgers. As far as pro ready, he might be the most polished receiver in this draft, in my opinion. Like, you just watch this guy and he is so smooth. I don't think his ceiling is that high because he's pretty much a slot.
Right.
But if Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay, there's already a lot of talk about Amari Rodgers.
Right.
Kind of being the Randall Cobb to this offense.
Which would be a win.
Very much. So he could easily be a steal.
I have an interesting question for you on Amari Rodgers.
Okay.
Do you think it's better for him in fantasy if Rodgers stays or Rodgers leaves and Devontae forces his way out?
I think I want the volume year one. So I guess that would be...
So you're rooting for Rodgers and Devontae to be like, fuck this joint, I'm out.
I guess so. but I just don't see that both of them being realistic. I think Devontae sticks around for at least this year, no matter what. I think Rodgers could be gone.
I think this ends with Guntukus getting fired.
I mean, good luck.
He's my most hated person in sports.
He's done well in free agency, though. That team would not look the way it does if they didn't actually open the coffers and spend money, because that was the other thing that the Packers used to cry about, is like, well, we never spend any money in free agency and we're perennially a terrible defense. And that's what got that team in the same situation that got McCarthy fired.
Instead of Jordan Love, they could have ponied up for Stephon Diggs.
Agreed.
They could have gotten Nuke.
Neither here nor there.
They could have traded up for Jefferson.
They could have gotten literally everyone.
They suck.
Neither here nor there. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the guy that I'm kind of fading. You know,
he's starting to creep up boards.
Yes, and that's why. I'm seeing him go ahead of pretty much everybody that I have mentioned in this second round, except for like Bateman. I know his ADP is higher on Sleeper than other places. He has a chance to carve out a role in the Lions offense because nothing is settled, but I'm not really in love with talent. I think he profiles as a slot, which is a limited ceiling, and he has Jared Goff throwing to him. You might get some negative game scripts and maybe have a good PPR day every now and then, but I'm just not that big on this guy at all.
Julio Jones or Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Julio Jones.
I think we've reached the point with him that the hype is pushing him into a ADP that I'm not comfortable with. I saw him go ahead of Elijah Moore. I see him consistently going ahead of Rondale now. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that are going that I would take over him.
All right. And speaking of Rondale, the trio of gadget guys, you got Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, and Dwayne Eskridge. So these guys are about as explosive as playmakers get, but gadget guys are still a relatively hard projection to the NFL. I would give the slight edge to Rondale Moore just because he's with Kingsbury, but you and I both have concern about Kingsbury long term. He may not be around. So
what happens to Kyler in that situation?
Right. Like it could be nasty. So at the very least, they were already force feeding Larry Fitzgerald targets in the same role that Rondale's going to absorb. So, you know, like the bubble screens and, you know, a slant here and there running out of the slot that already exists in their offense. So his projection is a lot safer in the short term. What he could be long term, I don't know. Maybe they use him out of the backfield. I think that would be fun for not for anybody that owns a Cardinals running back.
I mean, it's already not fun.
Right.
He's just a football player, man. I think it's just going to come down to health. He has, I would say, health concerns. I'm not going to, you know, there's the whole fallacy of injury prone. Mm-hmm. But I think it just comes down to how physically he runs at 5'10 and 180. Is that going to hold up? I don't know. I would look to take that chance, though. It's the right offense, good quarterback. We'll see what's up with Kingsbury.
As far as Kadarius Toney goes, it was kind of a puzzling pick for my Giants. At least we traded back. Style points for trolling the Jags, because that's apparently who Urban Meyer wanted.
I think it was a reverse troll by Urban Meyer.
You think it was a reverse troll?
I think it was a reverse troll because everybody was giving them shit for taking ETN. And I think he was pointing out that Kadarius Toney went at 20.
Okay. I like that narrative better, even though it makes us look stupid, because deep down I know we are. He brings the juice to this offense, you know, the spark, what the gadget guy is supposed to do. Now, first round capital should keep him in use. How much that actually amounts to remains to be seen, and where they use him. Golden Tate is no longer there, and he kind of feels like the heir apparent to that. Golden Tate was kind of one of those guys like Kadarius, where he wasn't just a slot guy. Like, he was kind of a weapon all over the place.
Right.
I do wonder how Jason Garrett is going to put him in this offense. Not a guy I'm pining for, but middle of the second, why the hell not? I'll stash him and hope that the athleticism translates.
Golden Tate's going to come in and fuck up some rookie receiver's opportunity.
I don't even want to talk about Dwayne Eskridge, so I'm not going to. There's nothing to talk
about. Yeah, and he's also creeping up. I've seen him. He's starting to get into the second round. I saw him go before Freiermuth, and I was like, I literally typed in the chat. I was like, we're playing tight end premium, right? Everybody's like, yeah. And I was like, just checking.
I understand the pick from a football's perspective, because Seattle only had, what, 3 picks in this draft. So you want to pick somebody that's going to be an impact player, and more often than not, that's going to be an offensive player. You're also trying to keep Russ happy. But I can't imagine Russell Wilson sitting there going, well, I was weighing my trade options, and I guess I'll stay here. So go get me a weapon. And I doubt there was ever a conversation where he said, go get me Dwayne Eskridge.
I don't think Russ – I think Aaron Rodgers has a leg to stand on in complaints. I don't think Russ really does, other than, yeah, the O-line sucks, but you also hold the ball way too long.
And I mean, he's going to be holding it because Dwayne Eskridge is really just a one-trick speed guy right now. They're talking about using him as a Swiss Army knife, but
– I think he replaces David Moore for them. which means he's going to vulture a couple touchdowns, and you're going to be pissed that he didn't throw to DK or Lockett. Yeah, hot take for you. I take Jamar Chase over DK Metcalf.
Wow. That is pretty hot.
I said that with a straight face, too.
I think I would agree with you because I just, you know, my feelings on the Seahawks. Yeah, the last guy that I would say in this second round that I'm really looking forward to, like, I actually want this guy on my team, would be Nico Collins. Landed with the Texans. For whatever reason, listen, for whatever reason, despite the Texans having no cap, no picks, and no respect in the league, and no quarterback right now, Nick Caserio decides to trade 2 fourths and next year's fourth to move up 20 spots and draft Nico Collins.
It's the worst trade of the draft.
It's bad, dude. It's bad. But he is one of the few wide receivers in this class with size that is actually not just a tree with arms. 6'4", 215. What is settled in this receiving core? You know, I have said on, I really like owning Jets assets because they're always so undervalued because nobody wants them. This is one of those assets. Who wants any Texans player right now? Catches or catches?
I'll take Cooks.
Yeah, I'll take Cooks. But then after that, who is there? And Cooks misses a lot of time.
He had 1 year with concussion issues.
He's usually nicked up.
He's good for 1,000 yards some way, somehow. But back to Nico Collins. I mean, you're basically banking that he's Claypool.
Which he's not.
Yeah, I don't even like Claypool. Yeah, I guess you're just – he's kind of like the same thing with ASB. I mean, ARSB.
I say ASB, but I it took me a while. Like, why are they putting an R in there? Oh, because they're saying both parts of his one name.
Yeah. I mean, at least St. Brown has Goff, who we know can – say whatever we want about Jared Goff. We know that he can throw the ball. That, like, he was the – first overall pick for a reason. He can sling the rock. I've seen him throw in person, and I'm to be honest, it's the best arm that I've – it's one of the best arms I've ever seen. You got Davis Mills. You got maybe Tyrod. I don't think Watson suits up for that team again.
I don't think so either.
If Watson suited up, I would be coaxed into it.
Oh, sure. If Watson's there, that changes the entire look of this offense.
Laremy Tunsil's somewhere taking a gas mask to the face. He's posting it on Twitter. It's not leaked. It's just him where he's just like, I'll do whatever to get the fuck out of here.
I would not be trying to leave making $22 million a year as a left tackle. That is a haul.
That it is.
More than that. I landed
366. 366, oh. Yeah. You're right.
Third round and beyond, where are you with the quarterback trio of Kellen Mond, Davis Mills, and Ian Book?
No Trask?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's what I meant to say instead of Ian Book. Kyle Trask.
Well, I have Ian Book over Trask. I actually like Ian Book. I like his chances. He's basically Taysom Hill.
Oh, sneaky. So he could be the Taysom Hill backup?
Well, remember when Russell West – I'm not comparing Ian Book to Russell Wilson. Let's make that very clear right now. But when Russ was taken by Seattle, there was Matt Flynn of six-touchdown notoriety. And it was Matt Flynn and was it Tavares Jackson?
Maybe.
Who was a starter and then went to Seattle. He was a starter with Minnesota. Russ was third on the depth chart. He was not expected to win. But he just came in. Both those guys, they even, I mean, Matt Flynn was on a fully guaranteed, I think, $15 million deal over 3 years. And Sean Payton seems like that kind of level of psychopath to just be like, let's do it. he's way better. He's doing things way better. But it's a dart throw.
Sean Payton is my favorite coach in the NFL.
Yeah. But the main thing that I'm trying to illustrate here is when you're here, you're taking a dart throw. Ian Book has two quarterbacks in front of him that are on one-year deals. So, I mean, if it all goes to shit and they have to rebuild next year, there's a good chance he's the starter. I like Kellen Mond. The guy was a four-year starter at Mississippi State. We know another Mississippi State quarterback seems to be doing just fine in the NFL.
Would you care to illustrate who that would be?
Oh, you mean the guy that's his leg snapped in half and someone thought it was a cramp?
Yeah. Would you be referring to Dak Prescott?
That is exactly who I'm referring to. And Kellen Mond can run like, what did he run? A 4.6, a 4.5?
I do not know what he ran, actually.
He ran something ridiculous. I think that doesn't seem like a coincidental pick to me. And you like to point out Minnesota is, you know, perilously close to blowing it all up.
Yes. Yep. I think Mond would be my pick of the three. Had they not pulled that Diggs trade out of their ass and landed Justin Jefferson because the Eagles didn't take him. So we're already threading needles here. We are talking about the Minnesota Vikings drafting in the top eight this year. They are just slowly, steadily kicking the can down the road, trying to keep Kirk Cousins around, and they just can't keep giving him guaranteed money forever and ever. That dude has made so much damn money between being franchise tagged twice by the football team and then getting a fully guaranteed contract to go to Minnesota and getting extended on top of that. That guy has made some cheese. That's just not a realistic structure for the type of quarterback he is. He's a great starting quarterback. He's not a transcendent talent that requires that A grade. And if the wheels fall off, they could be sellers and Cousins could be moving on. So Kellen Mond is kind of sitting in the wings, see what happens. I'm not on Trask, kind of for the same reason.
I would take Kellen Mond at the 212.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. If you're just not into Nico or one of the gadget guys, I could see that. I'm not into Trask, kind of the same reason as why I am into Mond, because Brady's not going to be around forever, even if he plays till he's 55. But at that point, doesn't Arians just kind of retire?
Yeah, I don't think Arians is going to be there. So,
and at that point, you know, the rest of the roster starts to atrophy because nobody's able to win Super Bowls with Brady anymore. So that kind of sucks. But
yeah, I also don't think Kyle Trask is good.
I like Trask in that he really just hasn't played a lot of football. There could be something there. We didn't see him for 4 years like we did Kellen Mond.
He's getting first round buzz for a little bit there.
So was Davis Mills, and which happens every year. Some random white dude with a big arm gets first round hype because there's just not enough quarterbacks to fill the quota of teams that need them. So somebody starts manufacturing headlines. Happens every year. All right. So non-quarterbacks, just a couple names. You can throw some in. I'll just highlight Kenny Gainwell landing in Philly. Legitimate receiving chops as a running back, lands behind Miles Sanders. As far as the Peterson Frank Reich overlap between between Philadelphia and Los Angeles Chargers, the Darren Sproles Danny Woodhead role has been an institution in that offense, and the third down back in that offense is used a lot in the red zone. Nyheim Hines is still used that way with Frank Reich. Definitely a dart I'm looking to throw in the third round, maybe a little earlier.
Yeah, I think Nyheim Hines is a nice target for production. Hines was a RB2 last year. I think he finished 15th or 18th last year. If you got that out of Kenny Gainwell in a PPR format, you'd be ecstatic.
I'm not nearly as excited as Elijah Mitchell late, but he's a body in a good offense. So maybe he can push one of these undrafted guys. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Dez Fitzpatrick landing in Tennessee, to a lesser degree, Sage Surratt and Tylan Wallace. Not expecting a lot from these three, but Dez is usually the guy I target in the third round because of how much receiver talent Tennessee has shed this offseason. Their wide receiver two right now is Josh Reynolds.
Right.
So wide open depth chart. Take that shot. Hunter Long and Semis Reyes are the two guys that I'm targeting for tight end. I'm really not targeting Pat Freiermuth. I'm okay with it, but he's not going to push Ebron for targets this year. And we're looking at post Ben Roethlisberger Steelers.
You mean the Derek Carr Steelers?
Ah, well, then that might change some things.
I'm not an Ebron guy.
Right. But, I mean, he's on the depth chart. What can you say?
Pat Freiermuth or Cole Kmet?
Cole Kmet. Because he has the opportunity now, and I think I like him better than Freiermuth straight up.
I saw Cole Kmet sold for a 22-1.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty steep.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have done that. And same thing with Brevin Jordan. Athletic tight end who tested poorly. Where did he even land? Yeah. Did he land in Houston?
Houston.
Yeah, yep. Okay. So same thing with Nico Collins. If you want to take a dart at some opportunities, sure. But not really looking
for Jordan Akins doesn't scare me.
Nope. Hunter Long landing in Miami. Kind of a shrewd pick.
I like him.
Took him in the third round. Could be a Gesicki replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's on the final year of his deal. Maybe a nice little wait and
agreed.
See. Have you heard of Semis Reyes?
No.
Okay. This guy.
Washington, right?
Yes. Landed with the football team. International Player Pathway, I think is what it's called. So he was an undrafted free agent. Okay. But he was a former basketball player at Tulsa.
Okay.
Famous. Tight end. He played basketball. This guy is an absurd athlete, except for his 40, beat out Kyle Pitts in testing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, are you ready? He ran a 4.6 at 6.6, 260.
Gross.
He jumped a 40-inch vert with a 10.5 broad and put up 31 on the bench.
That's Mike Mamula status.
So he is probably my favorite fourth and fifth round dart. Just throw him on the taxi squad.
Yeah. I mean, fuck it. I mean, he went to the right place. I mean, Rivera's staffs have done a good job with tight ends, and Logan Thomas is a converted tight end himself. I mean, look, you're just.
I think that about does it. Unless you have some darts you want to throw in.
Javian Hawkins.
Ah, that's true. Oh, I didn't finish this. That's why. I don't have those guys in there because I planned on doing this before our draft and I didn't want to put it out yet. Yep, Javian Hawkins. Go ahead.
Just buy all the Atlanta running backs.
Yep.
I'm not a Mike Davis. I don't believe in Mike Davis.
Neither do I. And then they just come out. They just come out and say that this is an open competition for the running backs. So
I don't know. Did they?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I they may even bring Gurley back.
That would be so terrible.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Mike Davis note, door is wide open per the Falcons running backs coach. The Told door you. Is wide open for anyone to take over their backfield.
Except Todd Gurley.
Except Mike Davis.
Yeah, I don't understand. I would sell Mike Davis if I had him right now.
I probably would too. I thought about trading for him when he was signed, but then I just kind of stopped and decided not
to. He wasn't good.
No.
He wasn't good. He almost blew my fantasy playoffs.
Well, nobody blows fantasy playoffs like Chris Carson, let me tell you what. As much as I love the guy.
Yeah, there's.
He vanishes in the playoffs. I don't know why.
I'm going to try to sell all my Mike Davis shares now that we talked about it.
I mean, and the guy that I throw at dart in the Falcons backfield is Caleb Wilson, Ball State guy. Nothing special. He's basically a Larry Roundtree, which you could throw in here too, but he's in the Atlanta offense as opposed to the Chargers offense. I think there's more opportunity there.
There will be another James Robinson this year.
I would like to think so. All right, y'all, that concludes the early takes on the 2021 rookie class. If you enjoyed, don't forget to like and share the show. Follow us on Twitter at Abstract Dynasty. Until next time, I'm out. Keep grinding.